Thank you guys for leading us in a strong day of worship today. We're going to be looking in the book of Genesis, and so if you have your Bible, go ahead and get that out. Genesis is the first section, the first book in our Bibles at the very beginning. You can turn there, and we'll be in chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 1 and go through verse 19 today. We have been preaching a series through Genesis called Back to the Beginning, Finding the Forever Character of God. And it's been exciting as we, in generations of Christendom, we look back on much of this and we see it through the lens of what we have been taught and what we have known for so long, but we have glimpsed the character of God in Genesis as it's been revealed to people for the very first time. As they've gotten to know who this Yahweh God is. What is his character like? The very basic things. And so it's been good to look at that together. And so this morning we have been looking at the flood account, the great flood of Noah. And we come to the point where we're going to finish that up this morning. It's not a Mother's Day text, but the faithfulness of God does have something to do with our mothers. I see he's out. So I'll try to be fast. Anyway, I've got a story about Dwight Eisenhower's mother now. y'all want to hear it. Dwight Eisenhower's mother is a famous story about her where she is said to have been waiting for the return of her son, and reporters came to her house and had been sitting with her for days and just talking with her day by day and waiting for her to be reunited with Dwight Eisenhower, this famous five-star general and president of the United States later. And the reporter at one point asked her, "Are you so excited to see your son after all the great things that he has done?" She looked at him, she said, "Which son are you talking about?" Well, everybody knew it was Dwight, but in her mind, guess what? The love of a mother for one son matches the love of a mother for another son. They were talking, of course, about her famous son, Dwight Eisenhower. And she asked the question about, which son are you talking about? Today, we're going to look at the man Noah. We're going to look at God's faithfulness to him. And true, it is a grand story. And true, we see God's hand working mightily. But I want you to know this morning that God's love, God's faithfulness to one of his children is the same faithfulness to all of his children. And so today, what we see from this Old Testament story is not distant or ancient or removed from where you are today. We serve a faithful, promise-keeping God. And so let's look together at Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And if you don't have your Bible, this will be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible in your life, we have several on the back table that are set out there just for you. We don't want anyone leaving here today without a reliable copy of God's Word in your life. And again, no strings attached. That's just something we want to do, our church wants to do for you. And so take one if you need one. Verse 1. But God remembered Noah. Powerful words, four powerful words. If that's all that we studied today, it would be enough. The preceding verse says the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days in verse 7 at the very end, but something happened. There's waters prevailing, but there's something else that comes against it. God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained. Doesn't just say it was stopped. This is God in action here. The rain was restrained and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the tenth month. In the tenth month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Maybe this bird is of the Lord today, right? I mean, we're talking about birds, and Noah sends out a raven, a hardy scavenger, a bird that did not come back to Noah, but they saw it going where? To and fro, right? It went back and forth. And there was death, likely, all around. And so this scavenger had plenty of food to eat. It went to and fro, and Noah could see it, not finding a place to land, right? And so you see the raven going to and fro. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned back to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, look, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. And so the dove had found something of land. Maybe not land itself, but had found at least a tree that was coming up out of the water and brought an olive leaf in her mouth. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, and everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. So what do we learn here? If the faithfulness of God, then, in this mighty story, is the faithfulness of God now to you on this day, what are these reflections of God's faithfulness that we're able to see through the life of this man, Noah? I think there are three reflections of God's faithfulness. The first is this: Noah trusts God. He trusts the God of unseen wisdom. Noah trusts the God of unseen wisdom. Remember in verse 7:24, the Bible says that the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. You know how long Noah was in the ark total and his family? Around 370 days. How long is a year? 365. This is a year or more that they were in the ark, and until the end, there is no evidence from Scripture that God ever gave Noah an update. He never said, "Noah, it's going to be this long. If you just wait a little while longer, we're going to be you'll be getting out of the ark." Noah is simply trusting in faith that what God said he would do, he will do. Moms, you are famous for a few sayings. I think you know some of them. One of the main ones that I remember my mom saying is when we would ask her a question, the question was, "Why?" What do y'all say, moms? "Because I said so." Are y'all trained on that or what? I mean, is it just passed down from the generations? But every mom and dad too, you know, sometimes you turn to your kids and they're asking a question that's really out of their depth. It's out of their lane. Or you just plainly don't have time to answer it. And you say, "Hey, kids, because I said so." What's another thing that kids love to ask when you're traveling in the car? "Are we there yet?" Moms, what do y'all say? "We'll get there when we get there." Don't you love it? Full of wisdom, right? It was just "we'll get there when we get there." Here's the message behind y'all's little trusted sayings, Mom. The message is this: kids, you trust me. Kids are saying, "Hey, I want to know what's when we're going to get there. I want to know why we're doing this." Sometimes we explain why, but sometimes we just say, my wisdom is enough for you right now. Kids, I can't answer you right now. It'll embarrass us in front of these other people. I'm giving you my decision, but I'm not going to explain my answer because it's not for everybody. There's a wisdom in it, right? Sometimes we don't give the full answer because it's going to hurt your feelings, kids. Why can't I have another slice of pie? Because I said so, okay? It's enough, believe me. Just because I said so. You trust my wisdom. As a child, this is frustrating. But let me ask you, as an adult, can it not be painful? Is it not very hard sometimes when you're walking through this life and we are tempted to turn to God and say, God, why? Lord, I didn't think it was going to be this way. Lord, when are we going to get, how long, God, is the pain going to be this intense, Lord? I mean, it doesn't seem like it's even beginning to fade yet, Lord. Lord, how long? And sometimes God is good and merciful to let us in on what he's doing. But there are other times when God's wisdom has to be enough. Here's Noah in this ark floating atop the waters there. God hasn't said, hey, Noah, we're extending this a little longer, or just 40 more days or a little while longer. Hey, you're going to send out a dove in a few weeks and she'll come back with an olive branch. God didn't tell Noah any of that. He's just waiting and watching and trusting God. I want you to know this morning that God does not always disclose to us. He does not always tell us the details of his plan, but he always knows the details. There's never a plan of God that is without detail, that he doesn't, that's just out of control. It may feel out of control. God may not tell us, but he knows. You may find yourself like Noah. You feel like you're just carried atop surging waters all around you. God, what are you doing? Where are we going? God, why? God, when? Lord, there's no end in sight. I want you to know that God has a wise and a knowing plan always. It is never outside of God's control, even when the details are unforeseen. We got moms here with us today. Maybe you find yourself in one of those situations where you just sunk lower than you thought things would sink, where things aren't right where you thought they would be, where there's a prayer concern about your kids. Where there's something that you had a plan and you find yourself instead over here. I hope you know that God is not lost control. He is wise and knowing. And when you don't know the details, we serve a God who never has forgotten the details. And so Noah trusts the unseen wisdom of God. We know what that's like. But secondly, Noah waits on the God of unforgotten love. He waits on the God of unforgotten love. Verse 1 is probably the most powerful verse to me in this whole text. But God remembered Noah. I love the two words, but God. I'm facing something hard, but God. I'm lost in my sin, but God. God has another plan. So we see that God remembered Noah. When did God remember Noah? He remembered him right after the end of verse 7. What had the Bible just told us? That the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. What was prevailing? The waters. Were they welcome by Noah? I mean, probably not really. I mean, the waters had crested, I think the Bible says, 15 cubits over the tallest mountain. The waters were prevailing upon the earth when God remembered Noah. So what I want to point out here is that God, this remembrance, this God coming into action on Noah's behalf did not happen when things were on the improvement, on the downside. It happened when things were at the worst. If Noah looked around to see if there was any evidence that God was coming into action, there really would not be much evidence. There really wouldn't be much evidence because what was prevailing at the time, it was the waters that were prevailing. This is when we, a lot of times, turn away from God. Can you imagine these North Georgia mountains? I love going to the hospitals in Gainesville and up on the fifth floor, you look out and just these mountains are majestic and everywhere. Can you imagine them covered 15 cubits over the tallest mountain here in North Georgia? This is when we surrender our faith, when we look around. Lord, the waters are prevailing here. Lord, I got the papers in the mail today, and Lord, some pain is prevailing. Lord, we just left the funeral home, and we just wrote the last check to the undertaker, and now we're just here, and it's prevailing. That's when God has remembered Noah. And so don't look for evidence to decide what it is that you're going to do with your faith and with your walk with the Lord. Remember that God remembers. He remembered Noah. The words remembered and forgot are interesting. If you're a mom, you've heard the word "I forgot" quite a lot, I'm sure. In our household, that's the case. You forget what's not important to you. You remember what you value, right? So our kids have a habit of forgetting certain things, just like yours do. If that thing hits me in the face, we're ending this, y'all, okay? We'd tell our kids, hey, pick up your dirty clothes out of the floor. Our kids have a nasty habit of taking off their pants with their undergarments attached still inside. They just get in the bath, they just slide the whole thing off. Mom or dad comes along, there's the pants and underwear, like one piece of clothing together. I guess it's our job to reach in and pull that apart, right? No, thank you. They have a habit of leaving their socks inside out, right? And you pick up the sock off the ground to put it in the washing machine, it weighs three times more than it should because it's soaked with sweat and stink. You think, I need to turn this inside out to put it in the washing machine. You stick your hand in there, and there's a smell that gets in your bones. It won't wash off, right? So we tell our kids, hey, please pick up your clothes, your dirty clothes. Please don't leave your underwear stuck in your, please turn your socks inside out. And what do they say? I forgot. Oh, I just forgot. You go in their bedroom, and all their chapsticks are lined up perfectly in order of flavor, alphabetically. Or the Pokemon cards, or the Cars cards. You got Doc Hudson and Lightning McQueen. It's all perfect. Like, why didn't you forget that? Because it mattered to them. The Lord here says he remembered Noah. Not that he had forgotten him. Don't get that. But that Noah mattered to God. Noah was important to God. Those are the things you remember and don't forget. You remember what's important, and God turns and says, hey, I remember this man who belongs to me. I remember Noah. God remembers you today. You are important to God. You may be sailing at the crest of a 150-day surge of violent tumult in your life, of hopelessness even. I want you to know, even in the midst of that, you look around, you say that wickedness is prevailing. God remembers. God has not forgotten you. You matter to God. A couple of words to our ladies today. I know that there are times when when you feel overwhelmed or just washed over with life and the demands. I want you to know, God remembers. You're not alone. He has not forgotten his purpose and his plan for you. There is a God who remembers you when you feel like it's all coming apart. When you don't have hardly a breath, or you've got 45 minutes of sleep that night, God remembers. He sees and he knows. A word to our older ladies. If that's behind you, there's two choices you have. You can have the attitude of, well, I've paid my dues and I'm done with that. Or you can look and seek opportunities. And some of these younger ladies, you look at their life and you can find ways to come alongside and to remind them God remembers. Just the other week, a senior adult lady in our church, she's not here today. We call her Mama Jean, and she came to my sweet wife, Erica, with a check in her hand for $25. And she said, "This week, I just thought about you. I had a little bit of extra money in my account, and I want to give it to you." $25 check, Mama Jean signed it, gave it to Erica. Let me tell you, it meant the world to our family and to Erica. Not just because of the $25. I was able to buy something great with it for myself, but not really. But not just because of the $25, but because of the thought, because somebody, a lady who had long since put those days of child care and all of this weariness behind her, who long since had passed that stage in her life, remembered someone else's life. Instead of just saying, "I paid my dues, I'm done with that, I can relax," she looked, she saw, she came alongside, and she reminded. To us, it was a gift from Mama Jean, but even more so, it was a reminder from God that we are remembered. You are remembered by God today. Ladies, remember that. Older ladies, remember that you have a role in affirming that in someone's life. Do you know that's true? I hope you know that's true. No matter what is churning around your life, God's children are in absolutely no danger of being forgotten. When? Ever. You will never be forgotten by God. But lastly, Noah knows the God of unabandoned promises. He knows the God of unabandoned promises. At the very end of this, all these days and months and years and the 17th day of this year, and it's very detailed. It's very specific. Do you notice that? I kind of love that. I love the very specific way God notices and loves us, the very detailed way that He undertakes His plan toward us. God doesn't just see us from afar and think, "Oh, shucks, you know, they'll get through it." You know, God is with us and watching. He sees every detail of His plan toward us. And that's what's in view here. At the very end, there's a description of Noah and his family coming off the ark. And as the Bible puts this for our attention, it repeats itself a couple of times. It tells how it was going to happen and then how it did happen. It's almost like the Bible brings us into literary slow motion. It's like, slow down and look. Watch, something awesome is about to happen. You watch slow motion in a movie, you know something awesome is about to happen. I love the movie Tombstone, the old movie Tombstone, about the gunfight at the OK Corral. And right before that gunfight, you see Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and Morgan and Virgil in their long black trench coats walking down the main dirt street of Tombstone. Is it Arizona, I guess? And there they are all in a line with little dust clouds coming up with every step, and they're doing it in slow motion. Their arms are swinging slow. You realize this is about to be cool. I mean, this is about to be really awesome. You can see every detail, every arc of those guns is that you can see it all because you've got time to look at it and to study it. God is giving us time in this moment to say, God is about to do something awesome, and He doesn't want us to miss every detail of it. He is fulfilling His promise to Noah. After 370 days, the Bible says this, So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. God is watching, He knows, and it is very specific. Something awesome is about to happen. Every detail is visible. God comes through. That's what we're not to miss here. God never lets us down. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. I'll just read it for you. Verse 11, God says this. He says, "I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. And I am God, and henceforth I am He. There is none who can deliver from my hand." Listen to this. "I work, And who can turn it back? God never lets us down. His decisions are never reversed. His promises are never failing. Revelation 37 describes the Lord Jesus as the one who opens and no one will shut, and the one who shuts and no one is able to open. This matters to us. We had a boy in the church this week who came by. Mark was here, our deacon chairperson. We were doing some work, carrying some stuff around, and a boy from the university showed up. He's not a part of our church really, but he knows our church, and he just popped in the door, and he said, "Would y'all pray with me?" He said, "Yes, we will." He had set his hopes on a certain career path with the military and had been very successful in advancing through that opportunity. And at the very end, they said, "Nope, you can't come. You got a health issue that was undetected, and you can't be in the military." And he was devastated. He was devastated. I mean, he really was. And what do I do? Why is this happening? Why did God shut this down? So Mark and I and Dallas, my nephew, prayed together around him, right out here in this hallway with our hands upon him, and he left from here. Listen, how many times has that happened to you? You thought you were going one direction, and all of a sudden God shut it down. God, do you keep your promises? God, I thought we were heading for this, and Lord, you have failed me. God does not fail. He is faithful here, and he is faithful now. You feel like God has diverted your ship? Well, he very well may have, but he did it with a purpose and with a plan for your good and for his glory. And so this morning, when you feel like that life has swamped your hopes, when you feel like it's all lost, I want you to remember that exactly what God sets out to do, he does. God does exactly what he sets out to do. Sometimes it may not feel that way, and it won't. But God has placed you and is leading you to a place of fulfilled promises. There is nothing God has told you, there is nothing God has promised you that he will not see through. See, Noah's faith here gives us the chance to see God's faithfulness. We see Noah's faith, but we see the faithfulness of God. When we walk by faith, that's when we don't only get to see it in a story, but we get to experience firsthand the faithfulness of God. Are you placing the weight of your life on God this morning? Are you walking by faith? Are you relying on who you know God is, or what you fear is happening around you? I want to promise you today, not based on my good word, but based on the word of God, that there is victory when we live by faith in a promise-keeping God. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you today for the word of God and for trusting it to us. We thank you for this old story of Noah. Not just a story, but an account, historical account from, Lord, your interactions and involvement with mankind, from your mercy to come near from the everlasting. Lord, we thank you that we get to see this and be reminded today that you are ever faithful. I pray for moms this morning. I pray for families. I pray for anybody here, students, children, old, young. I pray for those, Lord, who need to be reminded that no, they're not lost. You haven't forgotten them or misplaced them. Lord, you're right there with them. You're watching. Your faithfulness is intact. And so, Father, I pray that you would be the one who prevails in this place. I pray that if someone needs to make a change in their life or just to be encouraged or reminded that your arms are everlasting and that they are mighty to save, and that they are outstretched, that your eyes are watching, Lord, that there's nothing you cannot do, that there's nothing you do not fulfill. I pray that you, by your Spirit, would remind us of that today. We thank you for the strong name of Jesus. We thank you for a Savior who is the one who opens and no man can shut, who shuts and no man can open. And Lord, I pray that that strength would make itself known in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, you're welcome to respond.